Men of the world who value the way all turn to books. But books are nothing more than words. Words have value. What value there is in words is meaning. Meaning has something it is pursuing, but the thing that it is pursuing cannot be put into words and handed down. The world values words and hands down books, but though the world values them, I do not think them worth valuing. What the world takes to be values is not real value. And this week's opening quote comes from Zwanzi. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And I'd like to send out my heartfelt sympathies to the people who have suffered at the hands of the recent floods in Texas at the start of this week's show, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly dreadful to see the tragedy that has befallen these people, and it is a flood that Texas has not seen before, and there is little doubt that this flood was the result of weather engineering and that it was actually designed to happen. It really is quite disgraceful when one looks at all of the fingerprints that have been left all over this disaster, but it very much seems to have been manufactured by government. Very notably, all of the monitoring of the storm very clearly suggests that it was steered towards Texas. Also, of course, quite coincidentally, Donald Trump happened to roll back Obama's recent flood zoning legislation just a few weeks prior to the flood happening, and he has failed to respond to Mexico's offer of bringing aid to the area. And there's other things as well that clearly point to this being yet another manufactured event. Simply another distraction on the ground to keep the people floundering, keep the people distracted, and prevent the people from paying attention to what is going on around them. But again, my heartfelt sympathies and condolences to the people who have lost so much in Texas. And really, it's just a statement for the rest of the world as well, because the entire people of the world have lost so much at the hands of this system. And it's interesting looking at how we got here and where we're going, and what keeps us here, I think, is one of the more important things we should be looking at. What are the tools that are used to maintain this system and to prevent our escape from what seems to be the inevitable? And it really does. I mean, the rollout of this 5G grid, this smart system coming online, it seems to be inevitable. It seems like there's nothing that's going to stop it, most especially if the people don't get involved in stopping it. And really, that's the only thing that is going to stop it, is if the people choose to get involved. And the way they can get involved is by not supporting it. But people are supporting it, and that is the unfortunate thing. And really, the greatest tool that is used to control the masses and to keep us in the state that we are in, to keep us in a state where we are malleable and able to be led in the direction that the powers that believe they be want to lead us, is the divided state of our community, the generally divided state of our society. I mean, each country is divided against each other, and then you break that down, each state is divided against each other, each community is divided against each other, each person within the community is divided against the other people in the community, very often with their own families as well. And all of this is done by design. And even in the response to the system, the response is so divided because so many people have a focus on a particular rabbit hole or a particular agenda, and nobody is really willing to unite. So many people want to be the kingpin. So many people want to be the guru. And look, I can appreciate it. There's people out there that want to sell books, and we do need to make an income. We need to make a living because we all have to pay to be alive. But so many people are focused on what they may have written in their book and their need for that to be right and their need to always stay on that same pathway that they were on when they wrote that book. And they're not open to criticism, and they're not open to considering that there may be higher harmonics to what they've looked at. They're not open to other people's ideas. And very often, if someone does have a different idea, they want to meet with the person and have a debate about the topic. Not a discussion, but a debate. They want to go in there and hack each other down, and they want one to come out the winner of the debate. And that's not really a constructive way to move the topic forward. What it is a constructive way of putting people against each other and keeping the community divided. And that's a very unfortunate thing. And, well, it may be an unfortunate thing, but it is an unfortunate reality. And we need to put all these differences aside. You know, something that I said way back in my first film, The Big Picture, back in 2008, was one of the most effective things the government ever did to hide the grand conspiracy that underlies all the other conspiracies, was to create a conspiracy culture around it to hide the grand conspiracy. This is the best method that COINTEL has. It's one of their most effective methods. It's something they do every time. They will take a real conspiracy, something that is a real problem, take the Kennedy assassination, anything, and they will embellish it to the point that it becomes unbelievable, or they will surround it with all sorts of conjecture and innuendo and theory so that people effectively throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's why there's been so many conspiracies interjected into the movement in the last 10, 20, 25 years, 30 years. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. But look at what we've got to look at. I mean, we can go down the pathway and look at the Jews. We can go and look at the Jesuits. We can go and look at the ET question if we want to look at that. We can go and look at the flat earth, round earth debate if we want to look at that. We can argue the ins and outs of false flag operations, whether they're real, whether they're hoaxes, whether they're actors, or how they were carried out. There's so many things we can go and look at, but all it really does is divide the masses. You know, a couple of years ago, I was doing a speaking tour, and the name of my talk was Conspiracy Misdirection. I think you'll even find one of them on YouTube. And this is what they've done, folks. They've put all these conspiracies there to misdirect us from what's actually going on right beneath our feet, right under our noses. And not only that, but to pit us against each other. And something that I've also said very often, and I actually focused on a show about this a couple of years ago, and I got a little bit of flack from the audience for daring to say it, was that nobody actually knows anything. And nobody really liked it when I said that, that nobody really knows anything. Well, what are you saying, Max? You've been giving us these shows all these years, and now you're telling us that you don't know anything. Well, what I'm saying is that what I've been offering you on these shows, and what everybody offers you on their shows and in their books and in all the things they offer you, is their perspective. It's not something that they necessarily know. It's their perspective. It's everybody's perspective. That's all I can give you is my perspective, because it's all I have to offer. My perspective, based on the information that I've looked at and what I've been able to make of that information, I put it out there for people's humble consideration to see if it confirms with what other people are discovering and suggesting may be true as well. But the fact of the matter is, with all of these debates, is that nobody really knows, and the conspiracies and the questions are put out there simply to keep us arguing. In fact, the entire conspiracy movement, doesn't matter whether you're looking into aliens, doesn't matter whether you're looking into the Jesuits or the Jews or the flat or round earth or any of it, all of it is a psychological operation, irrespective of how much of it is true. The point being, in order for any of these theories to disable the control grid, as people claim they will, you know, the exposing of NASA, the exposing of whether nuclear weapons are real or not, the exposing of Monsanto, the exposing of the Holocaust, the exposing of whether the Earth may be round or flat, all of these things. If people are going to claim that the issue is the issue that will serve to awaken the masses and change the world, whatever the topic is, it first needs to be proven to be 100% true. And that has not and will not occur until mankind achieves the freedom to actually find out, but that freedom will never be achieved while people continue to argue and waste time over claiming fact on whatever topic there is that they're looking at. Now, therefore, the entire process cancels itself out. You know, the claiming of fact on both sides, when the reality is that neither side actually knows for sure, is the entire reason these psychological operations and conspiracy theories have been introduced. Because they are circular arguments that cannot be solved without freedom, and the argument and the division the argument creates is the very thing that prevents that freedom from ever being achieved. Now, really, it's a very brilliant strategy when one steps back and looks at it. And this is what has been done with the entire conspiracy culture, the entire conspiracy movement, and the people that go out there and release their books and release their talks and release their documents who claim fact on what they're looking at, when they don't really know, because they have never had the freedom to actually discover the truth. That's why all of these conspiracies are put out there, and look, many of them could very likely be true, and I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't research. What I'm saying is that people should be very, very careful of claiming fact on anything that they have not looked at and investigated with their own two eyes in the real world. Not stuff they've found online, stuff that they've gone and seen and worked out for themselves. I mean, sure, there's a great deal of good information online, but there's also a great deal of misdirection. And people need to be careful what they believe. know, because once you go down this rabbit hole and you start researching and investigating things, if you start believing everything that you see, you're going to end up very, very confused. And what happens is that people will look into a particular topic and they'll take pieces of it and they'll believe that, but not the rest of it. And then they'll take pieces of another topic and they'll believe bits of it, but not the rest of it. And then they add it all together and they end up so confused and so convoluted because they're starting to place too much power in the written word. They're starting to place too much power and too much value in what they read in books and not enough power and value in themselves and what they experience for themselves. And that is a huge, huge problem, and it's a huge mechanism that has been put into human consciousness in order to keep us divided, and it is extremely effective. Now, I've often said, ladies and gentlemen, that belief is the enemy of knowledge. Be careful what you believe. This is an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing path. We're still figuring it out. All of us are still figuring it out. I'm 60 years old almost, and I'm still figuring it out. Maybe I'll figure it out when I die. But it's an ongoing journey, and I don't believe anything yet. I have my own ideas about what may be going on, and I put it out there for people's humble consideration, but I still haven't figured out the whole thing. I mean, what is this place? What is this reality? What is underlying the whole human experience? That is the eternal question. And anyone who claims to have the answer, I suggest you be very, very careful of. But it's about the journey, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the journey and what we do with this information that we're getting. It's about what you do with the path that you're on, the path that you've been given, the path that you create for yourself. And we need to stop arguing and squabbling over these finer details of issues that we really don't know the truth about. And we don't. We don't because we're not free. And we need to establish that freedom. That's one thing that we do know. We all know that. We all know that we're not free. So let's focus on that. That would be a good focal point for all of mankind because the people that are running this world are very, very few in number. It's essentially a criminal cacistocracy, a criminal class that has maneuvered themselves into positions of power. But there isn't really a great many of them. There's far more of us than there is of them. The problem is that we remain divided. You know, and we don't fight back, basically because most people are good people who don't want to hurt other people. And the ones that are employed to control us really don't think that way. They don't care who they hurt. And they wear lots of armor and they carry lots of weapons. So they are very intimidating, but we still have the strength of numbers. And all we really have to do is stay home and not comply. And we will change everything. You know, we're the ones that hold the system up, ladies and gentlemen. We're the ones that buy all the smart devices and shop with our credit cards and go out and support this system. We're the ones that work in the bomb factories and go and fight in the military and do all this stuff. All we have to do is stay home. I'd like to see the whole world stay home and spend a week with their family. Imagine the shockwave that would send around this earth. It would be a wonderful thing to see, just to see families unite with each other again, to see friends and neighbors unite with each other again. And people need to begin putting down all of their racial differences and stop buying into all of these divide and conquer strategies that the government is cooking up, like this Antifa rubbish, this whole anti-racist movement that is going on. It isn't an anti-racist movement, it's an anti-free speech movement, it's an anti-white movement is what it is. And it's quite interesting to see the amount of white people that are supporting it, because what they are doing is supporting the erosion, complete removal actually, of free speech for white people. That's what it's about. That's what it's designed to do. Yeah, and the way it works is this, folks. You need to be crystal clear in understanding how this works. I could have a rally. I could have an outdoor gathering. I could gather people such as myself who wish to talk about this topic and discuss the fact that white people are being attacked for simply speaking out against government and speaking out for racial unity and for speaking out suggesting that possibly all lives matter and not just black lives. This is apparently a racist thing to say, according to the Antifa movement. But I could go and have a speech like this. I could go and set up a rally and I could have a platform at the end of it and a bunch of speakers get up and we want to all say the right thing. But what will happen is there'll be a busload of protesters show up. Off the very same buses, you'll get people wearing KKK t-shirts that come there to promote white supremacism. And off the very same bus, you'll be getting Antifa protesters that come to protest white supremacism. And they will face off. They will create a riot. The police are there, of course. And the police all stand down. They stand around and watch this group riot with each other. The media comes and videos the whole thing. And it gets portrayed as a white supremacist rally. Of course it is, because because there's the Ku Klux Klan, and that's the way they do it. It's all contrived. These are paid protesters that are bussed in, paid for by people such as George Soros, and it's all contrived. It's all theater for the masses. And even with the protest that we just saw in San Francisco, even the news report that I was on with Press TV said hundreds of protesters. Not thousands, mind you, hundreds of protesters. And if this is such an important issue, why were there only hundreds of protesters and not thousands? The reason, of course, is because they were all paid protesters to go there to create a disturbance so the media could report on it and portray it as a white supremacist rally and further divide the community and garner further support for the Antifa movement while at the same time claiming they're a terrorist organization and we need to stamp them out. This is the way they do it, folks. They play both sides against each other, and in reality, they control the entire show. It's all run by government, it's all run by people on the top levels, those who control government, and it's all propagated by mainstream media, which is simply a mouthpiece for corruption. That's all it is. It's just a mouthpiece for corruption that feeds the people the storyline that the ruling hand wants them to have. It certainly doesn't bring anything that is any semblance of the truth. And it's important that people look at that. And if you don't understand that's the way the media works, I urge you to please go out and travel the world and have a look around a little bit, because nothing is the way they tell you it is. Of course, one of the major problems that we face in all this is the fact that most people simply don't have the time to investigate any of this stuff. They don't have time to really take the rose-colored glasses off and look at the world the way it needs to be looked at. They don't really have time to analyze the situations that they live in. They're so busy trying to pay the rent, put food on the table, look after the kids, and maintain their job, whatever it is. They just don't have time to ever wonder why their life is that way at all. You know, so many people are caught up in suburban situations, in really bad situations. They're just working constantly. They're trying to get by, and they never, ever stop to think why it's such a struggle. Why it ever has to be this way at all? Why they can't just put it all down and go and do something else? I'm sure they've got kids and they feel a certain responsibility, but all of these things are cooked up and contrived. You know, you think, oh no, I've got the kids, they've got to have the latest this and the latest that, I've got to get them a good education, they've got to have an iPhone, they've got to have new uniforms and all this sort of stuff. All this stuff that they make you do to put your kids through school, you know, you've got to put them in uniforms and give them all this stuff and all these books and all these things. It's all about turning them into little clones and draining you of your resources and preventing you from ever experiencing yourself or really ever having time to look around you. That's what the whole modern Western work ethic is all designed to do, and just to give you something to do to prevent you from really looking around. I mean, look at what we do with our work most of the time. Most of the jobs that we're in are completely meaningless. We're just, what, serving people food in restaurants or working at a cafe or working in a supermarket or moving paper around in an office building, something like that. Although we don't really move paper around anymore. Now we do that electronically. We just electronically move paper around. We sign things in triplicate and do all this stuff, which doesn't really mean anything at all. It's all just designed to keep the human race busy. That's why we make everything to break, not just to support the economic model so that you can keep buying tires for your car and keep getting parts fixed on it. It's also to create mechanics, give people something to do, put stop-and-go signs everywhere, create all these mechanisms that slow us down and make us walk between lines and make us pay to be alive and keep us busy by whatever means possible. And that's one of the greatest tools of control they have as well, the whole fact that they keep us busy, and so many people are not prepared to just put it all down and walk away. And sometimes those who do get to a point in life where they just want to do that, they'll find that things change very dramatically when they do. You know, very often people find themselves just trapped in this system and they don't see that the way out is actually within themselves. That's what this whole experience has been about. That's what it's all about, is finding that which is in yourself, finding that spark of you that exists within you. And so many people have lost that. We measure ourselves up to all these different parameters and all these different models and all these different things we think we should be, but we miss out on us. We miss out on that spark of you that is you, that experience that you came here to have. What is that? It's there somewhere in the back of your mind if you can search. It was there when you were a child. I'm sure it was. There'd be something there, some reason. Didn't you think you were special when you were a child? Didn't you think there was a reason for you to be here? You weren't just randomly born, that you came here to do something. This was a special place, a special time, and you had a special reason for being here. I think every child feels that at some stage, and what if it's true? What if it's true? Because I would suggest that it is. I would suggest that you do have a special reason to be here. We all do. And that special reason is to experience you, to experience us, for me to experience me to the fullest of my potential, to find out what I am and what I can do with this experience. And everything about this reality, this society, prevents us from ever doing that. And the simple fact of the matter is that all we have to do is choose to walk away, because the entire construct that keeps us here is just fiction. It's just a meme. It's just based on the idea that this is what we have to do. Even government. Government's just an idea. Government doesn't really exist. It's not this thing that can come and eat you. It's just this building that people go to and they do what it says in the books. They believe in the written word, and the book says that they have to do this, so they do it. Because it's the law, because it's written in a book. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's not natural law. It doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't help anybody. I mean, sure, we need laws. We need laws to prevent people from committing crimes. Where does crime come from? Most crime comes because people are in a state of scarcity, or they're in a state where they're completely disconnected from themselves, both which are a result of this society, a result of this legislation, a result of the financial system, this entire meme that we've allowed to be constructed around us. So perhaps we should address that. And that makes a little bit more sense to me than what we're doing. You know, like, there's no real remedy ever going to be found within this system, because the entire system is fiction. The entire system is designed to lead us away from who and what we are. That's what it's for. That's what it's always been for. And that's why we will never find any remedy, not in any movement, not in any legal action that we try to take, not in anything. I mean, and all the time I've suggested action of going, doing this and doing that and going and speaking to politicians or going to see the local council or speaking to school teachers or whatever. All I'm trying to do is create a spark of empowerment in people. Just to say, go and talk to these people, because all they are is people. I don't expect you to ever get any results or ever to be able to bring about any change, but I'm hoping to inspire the confidence in you to know that you have as much worth and value as anyone, regardless of what position they hold, regardless of whether they're wearing a uniform, regardless of whether they're sitting behind a desk in an office or anything. We all have as much value as anybody else, and there's no reason for us to think that we don't, and there's no reason for us to be scared to go and talk to our employees. Because that's what these people are. They are all our employees. The government are your employees. The politicians are your employees. The police are your employees. And the problem is that we try to do battle through the police very often. You know, we want to complain about a politician and the police get in the way. It's not even their concern. We're not there to deal with the police. We're there to deal with the politician. We want to get this guy into the courtroom to tell the judge that this guy's a criminal. Not that we expect any real change, but it's some way of making a stand and perhaps waking up other people to the fact that there's a problem. You know, but ultimately we need to step above the whole thing and to realize what the fiction is that controls us, because all of it is fiction. You know, the entire legal system is not based on what is right and what is wrong. It's not based on good and bad behavior. It's based on points of law, which is usually bound out through corporate law, which is usually done to promote the continuation of this system, to afford remedy to politicians and banksters and those at the top of the food chain, or those who consider themselves to be at the top of the food chain that they have created, but not to afford any remedy to us. It's only there to tie us up in red tape and to sometimes afford us little modicums of remedy if we get too close to the truth. It's there to give us some form of appeasement in some cases and to set some example and to instill into the minds of the public the belief that the system does actually work and the legal system actually is functional, when nothing could be further from the truth. So we're not going to find any remedy there. The only place we're going to find remedy is in our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that I've been saying since the very beginning, since I started these shows back in 2008. And it'd be very interesting for you, if you are a new listener and you were to go back and listen to the shows since 2008 and see the massive amount of changes that I've made in the way I even view this situation, the way I view what controls us. And I've gone down so many different avenues. I've tried to reach so many different people. I've tried to reach New Age people, I've tried to reach political people, I've tried to speak in every single different type of language I can find to try to break that spell and to crack that little shell in people. And it's been an interesting journey. It's been an interesting journey so far, getting to this point and seeing how close we are to the end game actually coming online, because the system really has revealed itself now. I think everybody really does know what's going on. With the rollout of this 5G grid, I've seen a massive swing to this topic in the independent media as well, and that's a very good thing. the 5G grid and the AI technology that is coming online, the smart grid, the Internet of Things, this is the end game, and this is a very important issue. And I've gone way off topics today, folks, so I'm sorry I've been kind of ranting and rambling and going over all sorts of esoteric thoughts, but that's just the way the mind goes sometimes. I think all of it's relevant anyway. I think, you know, whatever we can do to empower ourselves and discover ourselves and whatever context we can put it in to help people do that is a good thing. And hopefully you've got some of that from the show today. And I do tend to ramble sometimes. I never have these shows planned when I start. All I ever really have is the opening quote, and I just sort of do that, and then I see where the quote leads me. There might be a news topic that I'll touch on, such as the flood that I touched on earlier, but I never really have a format. I never really know where I'm going to go. Sometimes I have a vague idea of what I want to say or what the topic will be, but very often I just begin talking and let it flow and see where it ends up. And sometimes I'm quite surprised at some of the topics that I cover as well. Sometimes I think I probably should keep on one topic a little bit more. But then, as I said, I think it's all relevant. And I think in order to really see what's going on around us, we need to be able to look at the wider perspective and look at the bigger picture and put everything in context with each other, because there are so many different avenues that they're looking at. And I think it's important that we look at them all, but don't get locked into the belief that any one of them is the be-all and end-all and has all the answers that we need, because all of them are related. And so many of them are put there simply to keep us arguing and keep us distracted. That's something that I really want to stress on, that I was making that point earlier. That's why most of them are there. So sure, look at them and take on the things that you think are possible and put them on a little shelf for consideration and see where they can be confirmed by other things that you find out. But be very careful before deciding to believe anything or lock yourself in any belief system. And please, please, do not lock yourself into any belief that is strong enough to cause you to argue with other people about this topic that you really don't know the truth of. You may suspect that you know the truth, and you may well be right. But putting it out there as fact and creating that confrontation is not really the way to move things forward. All information needs to be considered, but other people's opinions need to be respected as well, and stating fact on any issue is not the way to open anybody's mind. All you do is put up a barrier and create an argument, and that is not the way forward. And that's one of the big mistakes that we've been making in this independent media. One of the big mistakes we've been making in all of the research that we've been doing is finding something that works for us, locking ourselves into that belief, and then screaming fact from the rooftops and shouting down anyone who disagrees with us. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that are keeping us in this position, but really it is the division that is keeping us in this state. And the government does so many things to continue this and to pit us against each other, but it's extremely important that we notice that and that we notice how we're being led. You know, as I said earlier, it is sometimes very difficult for the average person to see this because they simply don't have time. They're so busy running on the treadmill. And when they do have any time to spare at all they really want to do is relax. And the most preferred form of relaxation in the modern world is unfortunately television. And that is how most people spend what spare time they have. Either that or going out and doing some sport that they love. They might go out and play tennis or go swimming or go for a row in the river or something. But very often we're just sitting down watching television, getting fed propaganda by the government, which really doesn't help things very much at all. And most of that propaganda is there to promote the concept that we live in a fearful society. We live in a society that is rife with crime. We need more police on the street. We need more laws. And we need the world to go into the police state, and we need this control grid, and we need all this stuff that's happening just to protect the people. But like I said, where does crime come from? What causes crime? Most crime is there because people are kept in a state of scarcity, which is due to the monetary system. But also, most crime is simply created statistically. And what I'm saying by that statement is that crime is essentially created on the books. Crime is created by government, and how this is done is via the inaction of legislation. You create a new law and you create a new crime. That's the way it works. For example, when President Barack Obama introduced Obamacare, he announced the creation of 80,000 new laws to go with Obamacare. And what this is essentially the creation of 80,000 new crimes. Because when you create a new law, you create a new crime. I mean, it might be okay for you to go and walk on the grass over there in that park, but if the politician comes along and writes a little law and says, now it's illegal for you to walk on the grass, when you walk on that grass now, you've just committed a crime. And that goes on to the books. It goes on to the statistics, onto the crime statistics. And that's how they do it. They create more laws. They make it illegal for you to do just about everything. You can't walk your dog on the beach on a Sunday. You can't walk on the footpath. You can't walk on the grass. You can't go fishing. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't swim in the river. And suddenly they can present these crime figures for the year and go, oh my God, look at the crime figures compared to what they were last year. There's so much crime in the world. And it's because they've created all of these new laws and thereby created all these new crimes and created a demand for more police to clean up the streets of all this terrible crime that is rampant in our society when there really is no crime at all. It's all been created statistically by governments simply writing laws. That's how they do it. Neat trick, huh? And look, that isn't to say that there isn't normal crime. I mean, there isn't violent crime. There isn't people going out and hurting other people and committing robberies and all sorts of stuff. But again, most of this happens because people are kept in a state of scarcity, which is because of the system itself anyway. So really, it all comes back to what the politicians have done and the situation that they put the public in. You know, it's a real problem here is that everything that we're presented by these people is backwards. I mean, look at the legalization of cannabis. This is something that I touched on last week as well. Why are they legalizing cannabis right across the world now? Why now? Why have they decided to do it now? And a lot of it is to cover up the fact that people have realized the health benefits of this plant and they're kind of trying to cover themselves there. But also they're introducing genetically modified cannabis, which is very significant that that's what they would be doing. You know, cannabis is a very remarkable plant. Cannabis opens up your mind to what reality really is. Cannabis makes it very difficult for people to be programmed. If you look at MK Ultra victims, they all say that the one drug they were not allowed to partake in was cannabis because cannabis would break their MK Ultra mind control programming. If you partake in cannabis regularly, it's very, very difficult to program you, and you are quite open to new ideas, quite open to creative expression, and they wish to change this via the genetic modification of cannabis. The genetically modified cannabis strains they're presenting as medicinal cannabis or medical cannabis are all GM, and they are the sorts of strains that just get you very, very stoned but don't really open you up to insights. They don't really open you up to the cosmic downloads, if you will, that you can get from partaking in proper cannabis. And that's one of the reasons they want to control it. That's one of the reasons they're introducing these GM strains, and they are insisting on the public only using these GM strains. It's all done for a reason, folks, and it's not done to help the people, and it's not done because they want to legalize cannabis, because they want to do the right thing. Everything these people do has an agenda. And one good rule of thumb to use through life, one tried and true guideline, is that in regard to health or freedom or the reality of virtually anything, the one institution you cannot rely on for any factual information ever is government. The only problem is that we've been taught that government is who we should be relying on, when the reality is that the ones that we should be relying on ultimately is ourselves. And that's been such a problem for our community. It's been such a problem for the human race, their inability to rely on themselves and the way they've been led away from their life skills. You know, we've broken down all of the connections that we used to have in our community and even the connections that we develop, the friendships that we develop when we're children. This is not happening to the kids these days. They're all caught up in the technology. Nobody is really dealing with the world in a realistic way. Nobody's interacting with the world in a realistic way. Have you noticed how empty the playgrounds are and how empty all the parks are? Where's all the children? Where's all the kids? They're all inside, scrying on their iPhones and their iPads and texting each other from across the room. It's a very, very sad situation the human race finds itself in. And we have to snap ourselves out of this program. We have to snap ourselves out of this virtual world we're being led into, because it's not the real world, and the real world is deteriorating around us very rapidly due to our failure to pay attention to it. You know, we're so caught up in the brightness and the glitz and glamour of all the little icons on our iPads and on our scrying mirrors that we're just not paying attention to reality anymore. It's a very sad thing. And really, the saddest part about it is that people don't seem to want to do anything to extricate themselves from this mess. No one seems to want to do anything to change the situation. Now, even with people who watch my radio shows and watch the clips on YouTube and often say to me, how come you're presenting all these problems, but you're not ever presenting the solution? And the problem is that they're not hearing the solution because I've presented the solution on virtually every show. The solution is unity of people. That's it. That's the only thing that's going to bring about any change. You know, I was hoping to see some unity in the independent media. I mean, I went out of my way. I really did. In the last 10 years, I've gone out of my way to meet as many high-profile personalities in the independent media as I possibly can, just to see who I could get onto the same page, who I could get to join me in some sort of united response to this system. Because I figured, well, if all of the independent media personalities out there are all working for the same thing, which is freedom, the problem that I'm seeing online is that all of their fan bases are squabbling with each other because they all follow different people. What if we, the people, the speakers who everybody follows, what if we showed that we were unified? Perhaps that would unify the fan base and we could all move forward as one united front. This was my plan. And this is what I attempted to do years ago. And such is the mentality of the independent media that the only thing that really resulted from it was the fact that you would get associated with someone that somebody else didn't like. Oh, look, there's a photo of him with this guy. This guy is controlled opposition. That means Max must be too. This sort of conspiracy theory, this sort of stuff. You know, if you can get a photograph of yourself taken with someone, you may have met them once for 2 minutes and someone snaps a shot, suddenly you're thick as thieves, planning all sorts of conspiracies together and planning the downfall of the world, according to the fan base out there. That's the way it goes. That's about the only result of trying to unite people. But that's the solution. The solution is unity. The solution is for people to respect each other and to stand up as one movement. But you're not going to get that until people can put down their barriers with their neighbors and put down their barriers with people and actually stand up as one united front. This is what I've been saying for the last 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is that people who want solutions, they want the solution handed to them and they want to get the newsletter to be told that the world has changed and they didn't have to participate. That's the problem. And most people who say they want freedom, they don't really want freedom. What they want is less working hours and more pay. They just want more spare time and they don't want to have to work as hard and they just want things to be a little bit easier than they are now. You know, most people cry for freedom, but they don't really know what they want because they don't really know what freedom looks like because we've never been free. The human race has never experienced freedom. Freedom is a whole new prospect. We have a concept of it, but it's something that we've never, ever experienced. And that's why no one can really find the way there. And no one can find the path to get out of this mess because no one is really prepared to participate. And when I say that, sure, I'm generalizing. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening to this who are quite prepared to participate and who are doing things themselves for their own community on the ground. And that's what we need. It's very important that people do get involved. But the most important thing of all is for people to realize that you are the solution. You are the solution. There is no one coming along that's going to lead you to safety. There's no one who can start a big movement and spearhead an attack against the government or anything like that. There's no one you can vote in or vote out. Not if they're going to continue to play by these political parameters. Not if they're going to continue to play by these rules. It isn't going to matter who you put in there because the entire system is corrupt. And we are the ones that hold it up. That is the most important thing for people to understand, is that we are the ones that hold it up. And all we have to do to change the world is to pull away from the system. But the unfortunate reality is that the only way that is going to occur is if people unite with each other. You know, we have to stand up as one voice. We have to put down our differences, respect each other, allow the people around us to think differently, allow them to have different beliefs, different ideas, different rabbit holes they're looking into, and just respect that and realize that we all face a common foe and that all that really exists within this entire social structure, no matter where you are on the food chain, is people. It's just people. All of the problems that we face are all coming from people who are actually people that we employ to do the opposite of what they're doing. And the greatest tool they've used against us is division, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why there has been so much division interjected into the movement in the last few years. And anybody who is promoting division, anybody who is saying we should not include this person because they have a different belief system to us, is doing the government's work for them. And you should step away from these people and unite with other people, unite with everybody around you, unite as one voice. You don't need a leader. You don't need a belief system. You don't need any of that stuff. What we need is freedom, and we have a real opportunity to get it, but we're also losing that opportunity. The window is closing very, very rapidly, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have very long to turn this around. We really don't. And sometimes I look at it, I mean, I try not to despair when I look at the state of the world. I really do. When I see this 5G grid and this whole smart system being rolled out, this Internet of Things, I see these sociopaths out there doing what they do. You know, I may stand here and stand my ground and refuse to use a credit card and shop with cash everywhere and not have a smartphone, but how long will it last? How long will I be able to do that? Because I can't do it on my own. I can continue using cash all I want, and it will get to a point where I simply can't buy anything because there won't be any shops left that support cash because everybody out there was using their credit cards. Nobody really cared. Nobody really cared to stop the system coming online. And look, I don't think cash is a good thing. I think the whole fiat system is a bad thing. And I'm not saying cash is good at all, but it's certainly better than using digital currency. It's certainly better than using a credit card to go shopping. It's certainly better than allowing yourself to get involved in this smart grid. And that's why I still promote the use of cash, because at least there's some way of slowing the system down while we regroup and find a way out of this mess, or at least attempt to find a way out of this mess. But as I said, when you can clearly see that the only real way out of this mess is through public unity, it does become quite despairing, because it's very difficult to find that unity anywhere. And everything this system does is designed to push us in the other direction and push the factions against each other. And they do it through rallies and groupthink. And groupthink is a very dangerous thing, but it is also a very effective mechanism for keeping the community divided. And all you have to really do is put people in a state of scarcity, put people in a state where they've got a bit of a chip on their shoulder, they're annoyed about something in their life, and they just want to get that pent-up emotion and express it some way, and they'll go and attack the guy next door if everybody else is doing it, even though it's a completely unrelated situation to what has caused their problems. It's just a way for them to expel some of that energy, and that's why they do it. That's why they put action movies and stuff out there as well, folks. These are all pressure relief valves. A lot of these rallies they have are pressure relief valves. You've got to do something like this to give people some sort of an outlet so they don't just explode. This is what ball games and sporting events are all about as well. They're all pressure relief valves, and if they didn't have these things, society would have imploded long ago. And to be honest, much of society is imploding now. I mean, much of Western society is imploding anyway. America certainly seems like it's imploding. It's been really interesting being in LA for the last 2 months, ladies and gentlemen. It really has. Just feeling the vibe here, seeing the people on the ground, the glazed look in people's eyes when you go out in the streets. It's very disturbing to see the level of programming that exists in people here. And it really makes you wonder if there's much hope for this country at all. You know, the people of America really have to get involved. They really do. The poor people here are so brainwashed. They are fed the most ridiculous information by the media. They don't get the news here that we get overseas. The only hope that people in the United States really have of getting any real news at all is from the independent media. They certainly don't get any from mainstream sources. And the people on the ground are so caught up in the programming that it really does make you wonder if there's any hope for this country at all. And even when I look at Australia, I see the way Australia's going. I mean, Australia's getting locked down into a police state, but it's being done in a kind of a neat and orderly fashion. America is very haphazard the way they do things here. Everything's very dilapidated. Everything is very shiny on the surface, but very cheap underneath. It's a very, very temporary culture that's been set up here, and that doesn't really spell a very good future for the American people. But you can see the temporary nature of the entire country. Everything's been made to decay quickly and to be replaced quickly. It's a very non-real type of society. It's very interesting coming in from an outsider and looking at it. I mean, the people are beautiful. I love the American people. I really do. But it's a very, very interesting society and very, very interesting culture they've created for themselves. It's very, very superficial. And below that superficiality, below that glitz and glamour on the surface, there are a lot of very unhappy, very disturbed people. You know, a lot of what people present as their confidence and present as them being all good and all on their path is really just a facade that's hiding some very, very deep underlying troubles that many of these people have. Now, many people inside, they know that something is terribly wrong, but they won't admit it to themselves, and I think this causes a huge schism within their minds, you know, they're going forward in this direction that they know is hopeless and they know they shouldn't be doing, but they try to maintain that face and keep positive about it anyway. You know, it's a really, really strange thing because it's like you're going into a storm and you know you're going to drown. You know you're going to drown if you keep walking down this road, but you keep walking down this road anyway when there's a path right next to you that you could be taking. And that seems to be the way it is. But there's this underlying unhappiness here that I'm finding in people. Even people that are really bright and happy on the surface, you know, once you start talking to them and really start to get them to open up a little bit, many of them simply just want to burst into tears. And they may be really bright and really confident people, but that's what happens. Once you crack that shell and you start talking to them, you can find that inner being, and you find that all of the trappings of the outer being, all of the external stuff is all a facade. It's all there to hide the hurt and the pain that exists inside. And I'm finding this with so many of the American people. And I think it's because people have been presented with this American dream and they've got to a certain point in their lives and they realize what a scam it's all been. But it's still there, that hope, that need, that belief that they can do something great. And they can. I mean, everybody can. Everybody is capable of doing something wonderful. But the American people have been absolutely brutalized by their government, and their reputation has been brutalized. Their international reputation has been brutalized. I mean, American people, when they travel now, a lot of people look at them kind of strange. Oh, you're from America. Okay, you guys aren't real good. But it's the government. The American people are wonderful. They really are. But they've been given this ability to express themselves and to be fantastic and to create the most fantastic country the world has ever seen. And then just to have it turn to a big cesspool in front of them without them ever being able to do anything about it. They've been given this dream and then they've had the carpet pulled out from underneath them and they've realized that it's just a prison. It's just a facade. It was all theater to begin with. It was just a ploy to get them to believe this so that they could create the global situation that America has created. And America is simply a puppet organization controlled by European interests anyway. And the whole thing has been a scam. There was no American dream. What there was a dream for the people of the world, but they had it stolen from them. And nobody really had it stolen from them more than the American people because they saw it right there. It was right there within their fingertips. And some of them actually may have even got it. They may have even got a piece of it. But many of them had to leave America to do it. But it was never what they said it was. Nothing has ever been what they said it was. All of these dreams that they gave the American people, this was the American dream that went out to other countries and became the Australian dream and the British dream and the French dream and the German dream. Everyone wanted to be like this. Everyone wanted to be the way the world showed us it was in Hollywood. Everyone wanted to have all this bright stuff and all this glitz and glamour and all this social status and all of these things that they fed us. None of it was real. None of it. And what you see here in the state of the country and the way it's going and the mindset of the people, the way the people who've been brutalized on so many levels, you see the result of what it was and what it was really all about. None of it was true. All of it was a scam. All of it was done specifically to bring the world to exactly where it is today. None of this is by chance, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is planned. Everything is orchestrated. The entire global situation we see today has been completely orchestrated. There is nothing that happens on the global stage that does not happen by design. You know, all of these governments collude with each other, every single one of them. It doesn't matter who it is. It's just who decides to play the enemy today, who decides to play the villain, who's going to have the war on their turf for a little while. Where's it going to lead? Where's the bucks? Sign me up. That's what it's for. It's all about bringing about this whole agenda of control. They wouldn't be able to control you if they weren't wars. They wouldn't be able to control you if there wasn't an enemy. That is the entire reason for government, to create enemies. Governments can be created, then they war against each other and the people suffer. It's never the governments, it's always the people. And this has been a long, long plan. It's been going on for centuries upon centuries. The slow plan for control of this entire biosphere, the slow plan for control of everything under the biosphere. That's the plan of the ruling elite, ladies and gentlemen, the ruling kakistocracy. They want to control everybody and everything. That's what it's always been about. It hasn't been about money. It hasn't been about wealth. It's been about control. They want to be able to control every rock, every blade of grass, and every being, living or not, every animal, every bird, every drop of water. Everything. That's what it's about. And that's what it's always been about. all of the other stuff, all the fighting amongst each other, all these little goals along the side, all these wars, all of this degradation, it's all been theatre just to keep us distracted, just to keep us busy. Fukushima, stuff to worry about. Chernobyl, stuff to worry about. North Korea, more stuff to worry about. Russia, more stuff to worry about. Asteroids, Nibiru, global warming, global cooling, mass floods, mass hurricanes, you name it, whatever it is, whatever they can cook up, just more stuff to worry about, more stuff to keep the people distracted, more stuff to make them fearful, and anything they can find to keep us busy and to prevent us from ever uniting or ever paying attention to what is actually happening on the ground around us. But now's the time, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time to pay attention. The 5G grid, the AI, all of this stuff, and it's all rolling out just the way I said it would. Interesting, a friend contacted me the other day and he said to me that he just saw an interesting article on the ABC called Sex, War and Robots, covering a lot of what I've been saying, including the exponential rise of chatbots, and basically that we're on the brink of some pretty bad situations. And basically said we're heading for robot partners and we simply won't be able to tell each other apart anymore the way it's going. He said they also spoke about the shortcomings of man's ability to only see in a linear way and not to be able to grasp the concepts of exponential growth. And it's very interesting, folks, that he would be seeing this on television just a couple of weeks after I said it on the radio. This is the way we're going, and humanity is on the brink of a very, very new reality. And it's time we paid attention, because we are the ones that are going to shape the direction that reality goes. So the choice is up to you. It's up to each of us. We just have to realize that we've now come to that time in history where we are being required to make that choice. And don't let someone make it for you, because the choice of your future is yours and yours alone to make. Don't let that get stolen from you, because if it gets stolen from you, then you're also allowing it to be stolen from your children. And we don't want that. We have to show some responsibility for the situation we're in, and we have to work to change it, or it's going to be our kids that suffer the future that we allowed to be created. Well, unfortunately, we've reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we've come to almost the end of the show. And I apologize for the lack of any real topic on today's show. I mean, these shows, as I said earlier, I never really know where I'm going with them. I just sort of come on and it's just like a constant thought stream, and I never really know where it's going to end up. I never know what tangents I'm going to go down. So thanks for bearing with me on a lot of these raves, wherever they happen to be going. Thanks for joining me on the journey. Just a reminder, I'm going to be speaking in Copenhagen in a couple of weeks on the 16th and 17th of September at the Open Mind Conference. I will also be speaking at Suju in Swindon on October the 1st. That will be starting at midday. Do try to get along with that. I believe it's a Sunday, though I could be wrong. You'll have to check up on that. I'm also doing a Kambo workshop in Hawaii through November. And I believe I might actually be doing another gig in Copenhagen as well in September, on September 18th, which will be the day after the Open Mind Conference. I need to work out some details on that, or find some details. I'm not even sure of the name of the venue, but I have been contacted about that, so I'll let you know about that. I'm going to try to get a radio show out to you next week, but I am going to be traveling next week. Next Saturday, I fly to Holland. I will attempt to get a show done on the Friday night before I fly out, but I can't really guarantee it at this stage. I've got a lot to do this week. We're kind of up in the air. I'm going to be all over the place for the next week, staying in motels all over the place. And then I've got a month of quite grueling travel ahead of me. But I will try to get a radio show out to you next week, but the chances of me getting one to you the following week are actually very, very slim. You're probably only going to actually hear from me two or three times during the month of September, I would say, unless there are some small interviews that I do, because I simply am not going to have the time to be able to both do the shows and do the tour and make the video clips and everything that goes along with it. So we'll just have to see how that goes. So do please bear with me for the month of September, because I'm going to be pretty well all over the place. Thank you to all those who support the website. Thank you to those who've sent me so many wonderful letters in the last couple of weeks as well. I really have received an enormous amount of very, very positive letters from people. I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer them all. There's a great deal there, but thank you for sending them. I really do appreciate it. And thank you for those people who are still sending me information on 5G and information on the AI. Keep it coming, folks. All of that stuff is relevant, and we need to get it all together so it can all be correlated and we can figure out exactly what they're up to. But again, thank you to all those who do support the website. Thank you to everybody who supports the Patreon account. That is the only thing that keeps the show on the air. It's the only thing that keeps me going. And my most sincere and most heartfelt thanks goes out to the Patreon patrons. You are the ones who are really making a difference, because you are the ones who are getting this message out there. I'm just the conduit. You guys are the ones who really make it happen, and it couldn't happen without you. So I cannot thank you enough. But that is it for me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm completely out of time. I'll try to get a show out to you next week, and I'll look forward to speaking to you the next time I do get one out to you. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and do stay positive, and do stay strong, and don't give up because the fat lady hasn't sung yet. Never lose heart, folks. We will make it through this, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again when I can. Please take very good care until then. In la cache, my friends. In la cache.